You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hey, look, man, it's the first of the month. My favorite month is here, June. Look, if you know me, you know this is my birthday month. I know it's the very last day of the month, but my favorite month because chapter 31 is on the way for me. So look, stay tuned for that, man. But hey, look, again, appreciate everybody jumping in. I hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. I know I did. I enjoyed the long break. Look, I had 2 days off. So I had Friday off and I ended up, of course, having Monday off. So long, nice break. Actually got a chance to go to a rooftop party, which was real fun on Saturday. Pops grilled out on Sunday, man, and I didn't do anything but relax on Monday. So look, that was a perfect weekend for me. I hope y'all enjoyed yourselves, man, and stay safe. But look, man, let's jump into it, man, because I don't want to keep y'all long without getting into this NBA talk, man. We all know the NBA finals are going down tonight. That's right, man. It's going to be featuring the Nuggets and the Miami Heat. What a crazy ride this has been throughout the playoffs, man. And especially when we got to the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Can't wait to dive deep into that. So what I'm going to do now is just do a recap of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, man. And then we'll do a fast forward to the NBA Finals, man. Talk a little bit about, the matchup, give you a preview of that. Let's talk about some X factors and some matchups to watch. And then finally, I'll give you my prediction for the NBA Finals. So, like I said, man, let's do a recap of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. So, I'm going to start with the Western Conference Finals because that ended first. So, as we all know, man, the Nuggets swept the Lakers 4-0. Jokic ended up winning the Western Conference Finals MVP. The Nuggets are advancing to the first NBA Finals ever in franchise history. Jokic finished game four with 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 13 assists. And this was his eighth triple-double that he earned in the playoffs. And he actually had this by the third quarter. He had a triple-double by the third quarter, I should say, of game four. And this, with the eighth triple-double, actually broke Wilt Chamberlain's record in 1967. So history was made. We witnessed history. So what an amazing accomplishment to pass Wilt Chamberlain, one of the greats. That was wild to see, man, the type of numbers that Jokic was putting up. So congratulations to him. Murray, he finished the game with 25 points. Aaron Gordon finished the game with 22 points. Had a few big shots in that game. Knocked down some big threes for the Nuggets in that game. And the Nuggets, let's just look what they averaged in this series, man. 118 points a game. Out-rebounded the Lakers 43-38 per game. That's average rebounds per game. They did shoot 49% from the field, 40% from three, to the Lakers 34% from three. And for me, man, the biggest difference in this series is that the Lakers role players, I mean, they were outplayed by the Nuggets role players. And I said this before, when I was talking to quite a bit of people about this, I just felt like the Nuggets were a deeper team than the Lakers were. I mean, I just personally felt like the way that they had been playing up until this point, I know a lot of people didn't really pay attention to the Nuggets, you know, on this side because they played on the West Coast, obviously. But, the Nuggets, they're a dangerous team, and they have proven that, and they've shown that the whole year. I mean, just look at how well they play as a collective unit. And you know, let's just look at, you know, the difference between the Lakers role players and the Nuggets role players, excuse me. So the Lakers, you had Schroeder, he averaged 7 points a game. D'Angelo Russell, 6 points a game. Lonnie Walker, 4 points a game. And Vanderbilt, 2 points a game, compared to Michael Porter Jr., 15 points per game, KCP, 14 points a game, Aaron Gordon, 12 points a game, and Bruce Brown, 12 points a game. So, like I said, man, the Nuggets, they were just a deeper team. And I felt like, you know, that second unit that they had, especially coming off the bench, man, they had some solid players, man, that can knock down some shots. I mean, they like I said, they play really well, really great team basketball. So, and that just goes to show, and it showed, it proved itself in the series. So, you know, I just sat there and watched it, and the way that the Nuggets were able to, you know, win each of these games, they won in different ways. You know, the first game, you know, they came out swinging, they were blowing the Lakers out, and then the Lakers did storm back. I mean, they stormed back, and I want to say they cut the lead to like 3 points, and I know at that point, Bron like missed a 3-pointer that, you know, questionable choice to shoot that shot, but they ended up storming back, and Anthony Davis had like 40 points in that game, but, you know, the Nuggets were able to hold on and find a way to win. And in game two, the Lakers came out, you know, they came out swinging. They were rolling. They were on fire. And the Nuggets, you know, they battled all the way to the fourth and ended up taking the lead and building on that lead. And they were able to get the win there. And, you know, game three, you know, on the road, that was the game they felt like, you know, okay, the Lakers will, they'll get back on track in this game, and, you know, things will be straight, and, you know, they'll win two in a row at home, and things will, you know, get better, and then they'll be able to take that momentum into Denver. But that didn't happen. That did not happen. The Nuggets, they went into L.A., and they knocked them off. And then in game four, which, you know, was a closeout game and a desperation game, you know, LeBron obviously did his thing. He had 38 points, and, you know, as expected, I mean, he played, I want to say, the whole, I don't think he didn't sit down at all in the first half, and I don't know how much, I can't remember how long he even sat down in game four at all, period. But, you know, eventually the gas kind of ran out in the second half because he was a little bit more passive and didn't have that energy like he did in the first half. Because, like I said, I knew exerting all that energy early, it was going to eventually catch up, and then it was going to come down to, you know, can the Lakers role players outplay the Nuggets role players, or can Anthony Davis show up? Which we all know, we don't know who you're going to get when it comes to Anthony Davis. So, but, you know, that was that. You know, that was that. But, oh yeah, in correction, LeBron finished with 40 points and 10 rebounds. So, for the game, and 9 assists as well. But, you know, like I said, man, the Nuggets got the win. And, you know, before I go any further, man, and talk about the next series, I just wanted to mention this, man. I feel like everybody needs to stop, you know, flipping this narrative about, you know, LeBron. I'm not a LeBron hater at all. You know, I'm not the one to say I hate LeBron, but I need to address this because I feel like it's very funny and it's it's comical to me that after the Nuggets won this series, now everybody's like, oh, LeBron's 38. Oh, he's 38 now, but he wasn't 38 when the Lakers were going on a run and when they were the hottest team in basketball. He wasn't 38 then. It was. Oh, this is year 20. Bron is 38. Fifth ring on the way. Like this is what was being said then. So don't flip the script and change the narrative now. Talking about, oh, you know, he's 38 years old. You can't expect him to, you know, do it all. I'm like, no. You need to keep the same energy. Keep that same energy, because he can't be, oh, he wasn't 38 then, but now he's 38 now. Now that matters, that he's 38 years old. Now that matters. And then another thing I find funny is, like, everybody's like, oh, this Lakers team, they started off 2-10, and look where they are now. And it's like, okay, you act like you didn't have 50, 60 plus games left to play. 2-10 in the NBA, that's when you have that many games left. Come on, man. Everybody calm down. Relax. So, like I said, stop trying to change the narrative. Stick to what you said. I mean, I've been saying this for the longest. Yeah, I know, you know, Bron is going to do his thing and he's going to score and do whatever, but he can't do it by himself. But the problem with a lot of Lakers fans and why we get on y'all so much is because you act like he can do it by himself. And some of y'all are in denial and saying that it's funny because y'all will make a statement as if it doesn't matter that he's doing it by himself until they lose like they did in the Western Conference Finals and get swept. And then now it becomes about, oh, well, he's 38, so you can't expect him to do it all. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Either you need to stick to one side. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Stick to one side. But yeah, let's move on, man. Let's move on. Let's talk Eastern Conference Finals. So, man, what a series this was, man. The Heat, they blew out the Celtics 103-84 in Game 7. They're advancing to the finals for the second time in 4 seasons. Jimmy Butler won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. And some people argue Caleb Martin could have won it. But, you know, shout out to Jimmy. But, man, Miami, y'all sure know how to scare your fans, bro. Y'all sure know how to keep y'all fans' hearts racing because they almost blew a 3-0 lead to become the first team in NBA history to do so. But they escaped. They escaped. Jimmy finished game 7 with 28 points. Caleb Martin, huge game, 26 points, 10 rebounds. And for me, look, the biggest story in this series was the Heat's undrafted players, man. I'm talking about Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, and Caleb Martin, man. These dudes played lights out the entire series, excuse me. Let's look at their biggest games for each of these players. Gabe Vincent, huge game 3 with 29 points. Max Strus, solid game 1, he had 15 points. Hit some pretty big shots down the stretch for the Heat in that game, which way, you know, they came out game 1 and they stole that one, and we know they stole game 2 as well. But you know, for Strus to come out, he knocked down some big shots in that game. And Caleb Martin, man, let's talk about Caleb. Huge 25 points off the bench in game 2, 21 points in game 6, even though they did lose that game, and 26 points and 10 rebounds, like I just mentioned, in game 7. Man, I mean, he was just hitting big shot after big shot after big shot in this series. Like, Caleb Martin, he has that dog in him. Like, he balled, and look, he's earning himself a paycheck. Trust and believe that. He has a nice payday coming. 'Cause he came up big for them in this series, man. And just to see the way that he just played without fear. Literally played without fear. Was aggressive. Almost every look that he took was I don't even recall him necessarily taking a bad shot. Every shot that I saw him take, he had a solid look. So, yeah, man. Celtics, hats off to them. Tremendous effort battling back in this series. Miami. Can't believe y'all even let them back in the series, especially with that closeout game at home. Which the Celtics, I mean, they were playing desperate, obviously, and so you knew that they were going to come out and play aggressive. So they stole that game, and then they go back to Boston and they steal that, and then they win that game, and you're like, okay. Then they go back to Miami. Or you're like, cool, like, this is about to be it. And they battled the whole game. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until the Heat took that late lead in the fourth. Jimmy got fouled at the three-point line, knocked down all three, and they go up by a point in that game. And then Marcus Smart takes the worst the worst shot ever in that situation when the Celtics had a ball with 3 seconds, and then out of nowhere comes Derrick Wright with the putback. Derrick Wright with the putback for the game winner. I could not believe it. And that really just, I felt like that right there, man, just snatched everything out of the Heat. I really did. I was just like, man, I don't know if they can overcome that. And I personally felt like going back to Boston, Celtics were winning that. That was going to be Celtics in seven. That's what I thought. That's what we all thought. I mean, aside from the Heat fans, of course. But, you know, Jimmy, hats off to Jimmy Butler, man, coming in after talking to the media, cool, calm, and collected as if he, you know, as he did each loss that they had up until game seven, saying, hey, look, we're going to be ready. We've been in this position. They've been in this position before. I mean, they've been in a game seven with Boston before, not being up on them and letting them come back, being up on them 3-0 and letting them bounce back like that. But he kept his composure, took ownership, and said that he had to play better because he knows when he plays better, you know, it collectively helps everybody else play better because they feed off of his energy. And I felt like he did an exceptional job really getting his teammates ready and leading by example and going out there and doing what he does, man, get buckets, man. It's Jimmy Buckets, man. And he did his thing, you know. But yeah, Celtics, man, tremendous effort, but y'all got blown out. Played terrible in the closeout game at home. Jaylen Brown, 8 turnovers. Tatum, 3 of 14 for 14 points. Horford, 8 points. Smart, 9 points. That's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. So, hey, and now there's questions out. You know, obviously, you know, you got the rumors going around, like, what's next for Jaylen Brown, you know, and Tatum, obviously, you know, they would prioritize Tatum. And, you know, could Jaylen Brown end up elsewhere next year? We'll see what happens in the offseason. Because the rumors are circulating, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be aggressive trying to get Jaylen Brown. So definitely keep our eyes open for that. And Game 7 was the most watched Eastern Conference final game ever. Averaged 12 million viewers, and it actually peaked at 14.3 million. Crazy. Crazy. But yeah, man, let's move on. Let's talk NBA Finals, man. Let's preview this, man. Like I said, man, as we all know, Heat Nuggets Game 1 going down tonight, 8:30 p.m. on ABC, which we all know it's not going to tip off at 8:30. Unfortunately, we're not on TNT anymore where they like to start on time. We're going to go to ABC. It's going to drag out. They're probably not going to tip it off till 9 o'clock realistically, but they wanted to put 8:30 to make us feel better. So you know how they go. They're going to do all the intros and the special, you know, courtside reports, and then they're going to have them go out. Then you got to sing the national anthem. Then they got to go back in and all this extra stuff. It's going to be a lot. So I'm just going to go ahead and prepare myself for the tip off to be at like 9 o'clock, and I'm just going to mentally go there so I'm not annoyed by the time I cut the TV on. But this is the first time in 24 years that an 8 seed has made the NBA Finals. So the Heat are the second 8 seed to do so. The first and last 8 seed to do so was 1999 New York Knicks, and they ended up losing to the Spurs in the finals 4-1. Now the Heat are 44-38, so they would tie the worst regular season record ever by an NBA champion if they were to win the NBA Finals. And the Washington Bullets actually won the 1978 championship with the exact same record that the Heat have right now. So can history repeat itself? Nuggets 53-29 right now. They're looking to bring Denver's first ever NBA title. Let's look at the postseason leaders for each team. So for the Heat, you got Jimmy Butler leading the team in average points per game at 28. Bam is leading with rebounds at 9 a game, and Jimmy is leading assists at 5 per game. And then for the Nuggets, you got Jokic. He's leading with 29 points per game, 13 rebounds a game, and 10 assists a game. So averaging a triple-double, leading in all categories, that I just mentioned. So the Heat and Nuggets played twice in the regular season this year. So they played once in December, once in February. The Nuggets are 2-0. Now, we all know they're two different teams at this point in the year. So, look, who wants it more? And now we're going to find out, you know, who really wants it more between both of these teams. And the biggest question, one of the big questions is, you know, can Tyler Herro return? Because, you know, he's already been ruled out for game one. So could he return later in the series? Could he come back a game three? Who knows? Who knows what could happen? But, yeah, I want to now take this time to look even further into it. And let's talk about the X factors in this series, because I feel like, you know, this series is definitely, I feel like this series, I don't want to say it's going to come down to just these two players. Obviously, there's going to be a lot that goes into whoever, you know, wins this series. It's going to obviously have to take more than one player. But I do think that these two players are very important for each team. So I'm going to start with the Nuggets. I think the X factor for the Nuggets is Michael Porter Jr. So Michael Porter Jr., he's shooting 45% from the field, 40% from three, 81% from the line. He's averaging 14 points a game right now in the postseason. So very streaky shooter. He hit big shots in the Western Conference Finals, and he can heat up. And once Michael Porter Jr. heats up, like I said, very streaky. He can knock him down. So you definitely got to watch out for him in this series as well. And for the Heat, man, I'm going Caleb Martin, of course. If you didn't know, now you know. Of course you knew I was going with Caleb Martin, man, especially after I gave him all the kudos for how he balled out in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's only right that he would be an X factor in the NBA Finals. Currently shooting 56% from the field, 43% from three, 81% from the line, and he's also averaging 14 points a game. Also a very streaky shooter, showing up huge consistently for the Miami Heat, hitting big shot after big shot, like I've already mentioned, in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he can also catch fire from three. And if he does, you really got to watch out, because he can knock them down. I mean, transition threes, all of it. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. can do it too. So these two players are extremely important. Not the only two important, but extremely important to, I feel like, the success of both of these teams in this series. So definitely watch out for them and pay close attention. And the matchup to watch for me is going to be Jokic versus Bam. Now, look, I'm going to go out and say this right now, man. Jokic might average like 40 or 50 a game. He might give Bam 40 or 50 a game. What Jokic might do to Bam might be illegal. It might be illegal. I mean, I don't know. I just, the way Jokic is playing right now is insane. He's played lights out recently, and Bam, as we all know, he struggled recently. So it's going to be a long series for Bam. I don't see Jokic slowing down, but there's a chance. Like I said, here's the thing: Jokic is gonna get his. You can't let everybody else beat you. That's the key. But let's look at how these two players play in both of their previous two matchups. Like I mentioned, that the Nuggets and the Heat played earlier in the season, the first game in December and the one in February. So that first game in December, Jokic, he had 19, 12, and 12. So he had triple-double in that. Bam actually had 22 points and 7 rebounds. Game 2, which is that second game in February, Jokic had just under a triple-double, just shy of a triple-double, 27 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. So just two assists away from a triple-double in that one. Bam had 19 points and just 2 rebounds. So question here, who's going to show up the most? Who's gonna show up for their team the most? Like I said, I do feel like Jokic is gonna give Bam some trouble just because of, you know, how twitchy and creative he is in the paint, and especially because he plays at the top of the key. He can knock down a 3-point shot. He can pass. The Nuggets love to run the high ball screen with Jokic and Murray. So it's gonna be tough because you know, what the Lakers failed to do is, you know, really pressure Murray off of that high ball screen earlier in that series, and he was getting a lot of good open looks and knocking them down. So, you know, how much pressure are the Heat going to put on that high ball screen? Because you know it's coming. And Jokic is an exceptional passer. So Bam is really going to have to get used to playing, you know, outside of the paint, because he's not going to be able to just sit back there and think that Jokic is just going to back him down. Because, like I said, Jokic could do it all. So he better get ready. And he better find a way to knock down shots, because he's been struggling as of late. He struggled the last couple games just finding his rhythm and knocking down the shot. But like I said, it's the NBA Finals, and this is where you find out who's gonna put their heart and soul out there and give it everything they got. So with that being said, let's talk about who I'm picking for the NBA Finals. Okay. So for the NBA Finals, I'm going to go the Miami Heat in seven. I'm going Heat in seven, man. I'm rocking with the Heat. I want my boy Jimmy to get him a ring. You know, I've been rocking with Jimmy Butler a long time. Came in with my Chicago Bulls, you know, diehard Bulls fan. You know, Jimmy was in Chicago for some years, so that's always been my boy. I want to see him get his first ring. And, you know, this is by no stretch of the imagination going to be easy at all. It's going to take some great, great basketball for the Heat to pull this off. But I do think that the way that the Heat play, I think they match up well with the Nuggets. Outside of the Bam and Jokic matchup, that's the one that I think that's the one that's the toughest. Like I said, I really feel like Jokic is going to get his, and I don't know what I'm going to get from Bam right now. So that matchup, it's a matchup for me to watch. It's just I don't know, but I do think that outside of that matchup, I feel like Jimmy is going to do his thing. I feel like you got Caleb Martin who can knock down the big shots, Max Strus who can knock down big shots, Duncan Robinson who knocked down some big shots, you know, Caleb Vincent, you know, he's. Not Caleb Vincent, but Gabe Vincent, I'm sorry. Who can you know, knock down big shots as well. So I think that I think Miami's role players they'll come to play. And it's just gonna boil down to if the Nuggets role players, if Bruce Brown, KCP, Aaron Gordon, if those guys can step up, and Michael Porter Jr. as well. So I'm excited to watch it, excited to see what's going to happen, but I'm going Heat in seven. So that's my pick, man. That's my pick. So Jimmy, don't let me down, dog. Don't make me look crazy. But yeah, man. But hey, look, make y'all picks, man. Enjoy the game tonight. I'm excited to watch. Excited to see how this thing turns out, man. But look, that's all I got for y'all. I appreciate y'all's time and giving me, you know, the opportunity to talk some sports talk with y'all as always, man. Love to chat it up with y'all. And I know I've been away, man. I've been, look, back and forth with some things, man. But trust and believe, I'll be coming back, man, throughout this series, man, and keep updates to keep going and keep following as each game goes on, man, to give y'all my analysis. So, hey, again, be blessed. Enjoy the game. I'm out.